This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
So tonight, something resembling the Bears will be on.
The Bears!
It's the concept of checking off the boxes of your football calendar.
Bears tonight! Let's Bears see. Tonight! We're not going to see all the Bears tonight.
This is the start of the 2024 NFL season. Nobody else I'd rather ride this thing out with, all right? Family on three, one, two, three. Bears.
Wide open for a touchdown. It's Colin Johnson. Practice squad player last year and a touchdown throw from Brett Rippon. Third down and four. End zone, why not? How about some more? Number 80, Colin Johnson and Brett Rippon. What a body of work tonight. 9-yard touchdown. Well, the inevitable has happened with that weather bearing down on us. And approaching the stadium, they've asked the fans, the players, anybody down on the field to seek shelter. It is a 21-17 final, I guess. And the Bears will walk out of here with a 4-point win.
You're still here? It's over. Go home.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Shout out Stubbs for pulling what I believe is regarded as the first post-credits cookie. That's Ferris Bueller reminding everybody to go home.
Yeah, to get out of here.
As the credits are over.
Why are you sticking around?
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Happy Friday! We will lead you up to Cubs baseball today.
How dare you wish everybody Happy Friday when you didn't know it was Friday until 2 minutes ago?
I forgot. I was all mixed up.
What?
I know it is, and then I forgot, and then I looked at something.
Looks over and goes, is today Friday? Yes.
Well, now I'm happy.
You know what's on the first page of the rundown, right? Stop. The day of the week is, it's the first thing on the rundown.
I know. I just momentarily forgot.
I forgot.
Did you think it was a Monday Bears played yesterday?
No, I kind of thought it was Thursday because Layla was here yesterday.
Makes no sense then.
Because Layla was here yesterday.
Oh, so you're blaming Layla?
No!
He thought it was Thursday because she's usually here on Wednesday.
Okay.
Is that what we're doing?
Something like that. I don't know. I had a moment like a fugue state. I had a brief dissociative moment, and now everything's fine.
Ray, you do bring up a really interesting point because Mitch did offer to buy today, and we kind of defaulted to breakfast.
That's right.
Shouldn't we default to chicken?
Maybe we should.
What did I have when I came in today?
You had chicken wings?
Yeah. This
is a victory Friday, right?
Right.
Or it's a victory Monday on a Friday.
We'll consult, but we need to discuss this as a group. But
I have also sent the breakfast menu to Big Aunt Heron, who will join us at 11, and he has making a breakfast decision.
All right,
but I think he'd be on board with a chicken decision,
too. Why don't you get chicken and waffles?
Well, you can, but I like this better. Let's have Big Aunt, if he's getting breakfast, then we'll get breakfast, and it's fine.
So if you're... in Chicago, yesterday, as I left, went down to my car, got my fishing gear, and walked out to my usual haunts, and I remembered it was Lollapalooza, and I'm looking around, and I was like, why are all these half-naked women covered in glitter walking around? I'm like, oh,
it's Lollapalooza.
It's time for half-naked women covered in glitter.
And they usually park in our building. Like, that's kind of a thing, too.
Well, this morning we had a half-naked woman covered in glitter trying to park in the building, and then had three cars behind her, and then she's motioning everybody to back out because she changed her mind.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Well, we did.
Really?
We all backed out so she could...
Because she was half-naked and covered in glitter.
No, it's just like she couldn't... I don't know if she couldn't afford it or whatever, so we got there early enough that it was fine. But I got to hear the entire Chapel Roan show. I got to hear the whole thing.
So you're like right there.
I was right there. I was walking down Monroe Harbor, right in front of Buckingham Fountain, and a little bit further south. And it depended on how the wind was blowing, but I could hear the music, I could hear the cheering and all the excitement. And I'll tell you this, I think fish like Chapel Roan.
Also, because you caught the big fish yesterday.
I caught a couple. It was more active than it's been.
We got weights and fish.
There we go.
It was more active than it's been in a long time, and I just think fish like Chapel Roan.
There was an aerial shot of Lollapalooza going around, And I thought it was just, oh, this is the general crowd. And I sent it to a friend who pointed out then that, like, no, this crowd is really packed. You see here, this is where these are the areas where people are usually sitting down and have blankets, and it's just all condensed and packed in. It's a big, big show, I guess.
Yeah. How about the drone shot of the Cubs last night?
That was so sweet.
So cool. Like, really cool stuff.
Synced up with Boog's call.
Yes. Excellent work by Marquee on that.
And the Bears thing was fine. It was fine. It was football-y.
Hey, and now, hey, full-fledged quarterback controversy.
That's right. Watch out, Tyson.
I'll say this, though. He's
Caleb.
He's comfortable. He's really comfortable. Brett Rippon is comfortable in that offense. He knows where the ball's supposed to go. Most of the guys out there are not professional football players.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
There were guys that were running free yesterday.
It comes out of his
hands. One of them we're going to talk to you on the show in a few minutes.
We are going to be talking to the Mistroli Award winner from yesterday. None of us had him in the draft. Colin Johnson is going to join us. We'll congratulate him on his performance.
Go Bears!
There it is!
Anthony Herron will be in studio at 11. We got High Noon at 11:40. Kevin Fishbane is going to be with us at noon, and then we'll have whatever Craig Council has to say before today. The Cubs.
It was a really nice win for the Cubs. I mean, we'll get into it later on, but it was nice win for them in a way that I think was aesthetically pleasing, which we'll discuss around 10:45. But the Bears game last night, look, it's guys in the Bears uniforms. And more entertaining than anybody thought for the 2.5 quarters of football that they played.
It was pretty good football.
I agree.
I'm not saying it was high level, but there weren't a lot of penalties. There weren't a lot of mistakes. There wasn't a lot of standing around and pointing. There were completed passes, balls moving up and down the field. There were plays made.
And the Bears made most of the plays. And I know it was Cam Akers is trying to work his way back. So seeing him do well was nice out there too. And the line was 31.5, and they got to, and Joe said to us yesterday.
You mean the over-under?
Yeah, the over-under was 31.5. And Joe had said, you know, we don't know how any of this stuff is going to go. Like, there are a lot of people that are saying go under just because, but maybe that's not the move. So I'm like, look at that. Well, it was shocking that Joe Ostrowski would be right about something because, you know, he's kind of always right about stuff. So it was great. It was great to see that. You have your football. And you know what I loved about it, Dan? It was perfect in, like, here's 2.5 quarters of football. There's a terrible thunderstorm coming. The thunderstorm comes. You know what? We're done. And it was perfect. Everyone, we're done at 9:15 or whatever with that game. And you just move, and it was synced up perfectly with the Cubs.
I'm telling you, it's my concert theory. Give me one set of your best stuff. Give me your best 45 minutes that you've got, and then we're done for the evening.
That's how I feel about fireworks shows. I don't need the buildup. Just say to me that there's going to be 5 minutes that's going to kick ass.
Fire, yeah.
That's going to blow my face off.
Yep.
Grind my face off.
Absolute face. Grinding your absolute face off.
Grinding my absolute face off.
Tell me that you're going to do 5 minutes of that. I don't need a 30-minute show where you're building crescendo. None of that. Hey, sit down, stupid. We're about to let these fireworks go. And then just be done. All the concussive blast stuff that you put in there, put it all in there.
The chest bumpers. I like that.
Yeah.
Light them all off at once.
Yes.
The whole 40 minutes all off at once.
Put them in a pile and throw a match on it.
That's it.
Perfect.
Yep. Don't put them on your head.
Don't put them on your head. That would be bad for you.
So I liked it. It was exactly right. The quality was just enough. The broadcast was just good enough. The fan servicing with the Hall of Famers was just good enough. Although seeing Misty walk out there with all those Hall of Famers was just great.
Well, yeah.
And kudos to her for what she's sacrificed and what she has done for her husband over the last however many years. And just it's really remarkable. And to see her happy,
yes,
and proud
I'm glad she walked out there with flourish.
And enjoying the moment the way she did. Like, she's earned this too.
And this morning, she joined Molly and Hawn. It was a great conversation. It was very emotional.
Should be. Yeah. You know, they've come along with this. Is think about how bittersweet. Think about what this means for them, what they know about where they are in their journey. And what this means. Of course she was out there strutting.
What did you think of the new kickoff rule?
Fine.
That's about the right response to it. It's going to take some getting used to.
It's fine.
We'll see how long they keep it.
Well, there were no concussions.
No concussions. It seemed like we got the stick.
The stick. Yeah, at one point, Torrey Taylor was the kicking stick.
Yep. And then he ran off the field.
And they showed Mojo from Houston. Do you remember Mojo?
Yes.
He was just a guy who was in charge of running out and getting the tee and coming off the field with it before he got killed.
Yep. So you had all the stuff, the requirements there. A third of your team didn't even play. I was glad that, I'll go Barry Horowitz. Caleb dressed, warmed up.
Had the earpiece in.
And then put some sweats on and had the earpiece in and was on the sidelines talking and doing his thing. It's exactly the way that should go. And now he can start getting ready for his first action next week.
Yeah, but that connection with Rippon and Collins, he clearly knows the offense. Rippon is very comfortable knowing where to go with the ball in this offense. And I will say, this means nothing, but if you kind of squinted at it, I'm asking, did the offense look more normal?
It looked more vertical.
Like actual NFL offense.
Well, they ran a jet sweep away from the boundary, which is progress.
Yes, that's they
massive
did.
Progress. Not,
they didn't shortside themselves. They did that. But it really did look like it was the quarterback's here, receivers are down there, instead of like all running over here.
The running plays were going forward.
Yes.
More vertical.
It wasn't as sideways.
But now let's see what that looks like in a real game. Like that's.
Yes, I know. That's all I got right now.
I know. We can't make any pronouncements.
I'm not.
Other than Colin Johnson had a wonderful night. Brett Rippon had a wonderful night. Good for both of them. And their few, and we're going to talk with Colin coming up. So there was a rain delay. There's a store blob coming in. So Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are looking at the Doppler. They throw it back to Connecticut. And then they come back and you look up and there's Ryan Poles and there's Kevin Warren. Ryan Poles, by the way, I also feel like quiet as is kept is also having a glow up.
Did he lose weight?
I don't know, but he looks good. He looks good. And so they were there, and there were some updates. And I think some incremental movement that will allow for some...
Saving of face?
Face saving there. So here is the president of the Bears and the general manager of the Bears talking with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman about all things Bears, including the stadium.
That's exactly where I thought we would be at this point in time. These are massive projects. We're working hand in hand with our consultants and internally, doing a lot of design, construction, and still we work on a daily basis on it. So the goal is still to be in the ground, moving dirt in 2025, hopefully open in 2028, and have a great new home for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and have we, as we say all that, have we settled on downtown, or is it Arlington, or we don't know that yet?
Yeah, well, the focus is the museum camp is downtown. I still think that's the most beautiful piece of property in the country where lake meets architecture in downtown. We are the largest landowner in Arlington Heights. We own 326 acres, so that still, you know, is an opportunity because we do own the land. But our focus right now is to do everything we can on the lakefront.
And they bring you in, the Bears do wisely, because the job that you did and the Wilf family did in Minnesota, that stadium is wonderful. And you've been up against this before.
Yes.
So you have the experience of getting a stadium done.
100%. I mean, U.S. Bank Stadium is still a phenomenal stadium. We've been here before. A lot of credit goes to the McCaskey family. They've given Ryan and I the support and Coach Eberflus to do what we need to get done. So we're excited about where we are, and we're focused, and we're going to keep working hard.
As you look at this team, and we'll transition to Ryan, but you got to be awfully proud with all the business that we talk about. You got to be awfully proud of the team that you guys are going to field in 2024.
I mean, exactly. I mean, work hand in hand with Ryan and Coach Eberflus and George McCaskey. The key for us is to continually build our brand, build an organization that has long-term stability, build our fan avidity, work hard. We have the best fans in the NFL, and I'm excited to continually work together to pull that together to make sure Chicago is special.
Ryan, we go to you, and we've been talking about it on the broadcast here tonight and the job that you've done since taking over as general manager and taking a roster and really building it in a short period of time. Obviously, the trade last year setting that all up, but a little luck goes a long way as well, the way that it all happened and kind of fell into your lap, and you get a guy like Caleb Williams. But just talk about how you've been able to build this team over the last few years.
Yeah, it's taken some patience early on, and really I got to give credit to my staff. It's not just me. It's the whole group doing a really good job scouting, looking at different opportunities, again, to bring talent to Chicago so that we can win championships here. And to give Caleb a rookie quarterback weapons around him to feel comfortable to gain that confidence fast, that's a big deal, as you know.
He's got him. Got him. You've done a good job.
So we just want to get him settled in early so he make plays. And really, the thing is, lean on the guys around him. You don't have to do everything immediately. So there's enough talent around him for us to get started and win some football games.
And it's got to be exciting for you as a general manager now in your third year to have the core really set up now for the next 4 years or so. You've got Caleb, obviously. Darnell Wright, your tackle. Adunze, number 9 overall pick. DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And now that you have Caleb in the building, what do you see? Because I tell you, from the production meetings and just the interactions we've had with him, he seems like the kind of guy that can handle the pressure that Chicago and the Bears would put on him.
Yeah, and he's had a lot of pressure on him early on, just being a big-time recruit coming out of high school and then elevating his game in college and being the first overall pick. But the one thing I love about him, he's very comfortable in his own skin. He's confident in his talent, and he believes in himself, and he brings people together, which fits our culture right now. We have a great locker room. The guys have fun. They compete in practice every single day, and they love each other. They spend time with each other, and that's a big deal to us.
When Buck asked about the team, it sounded like Ryan Poles tried to answer and Warren stepped on him. It sounded like you could hear Poles like...
They addressed Ryan.
Right.
Buck said Ryan.
We're going to transition to Ryan here.
Yes. It's fine. And then he's talking to him and he started to answer and then Warren just jumped in and took it.
He is clearly more knowledgeable about how quickly things can get done. But if the museum campus is your choice and the governor has told you that
it's a non-starter,
then I mean, I know that we still got a few more months in 2024. It feels like shovels in the ground, like all of the red tape that would have to go on, which surely there would be all sorts of court fights. If the goal is to have shovels in the ground in 2025,
that's exactly where I thought we would be at this point in time.
No. And why would you mention that you're the largest landowner in Arlington Heights?
That is a great question, Dan.
Why happen to mention that? We're the largest landowner. We own that land.
Because you're going to have to go back there.
Build on it.
I agree. There's no reason to not. Like, you should build on that
land you own.
That $200 million investment, and getting more expensive by the second, you could put shovels in the ground in 2024 if you want it.
We are going to give out the Ken Mastroli Award for the first exhibition game when we come back.
Yeah.
The winner, Bears wide receiver Colin Johnson, is going to join us on Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show presents the Ken Mastroli Award, a recognition of excellence by a Chicago Bears player who absolutely killed it in a preseason game.
Are you the best ever?
Yeah, you see that.
The Ken Mastroli Award for the Bears preseason matchup against the Texans is Colin Johnson.
Wide open for a touchdown, it's Colin Johnson. What a catch! I agree, but what a catch by Colin Johnson. Third down and four. End zone, why not? How about some more? Number 80, Colin Johnson, and Liev, get ready to say his name into the microphone.
Congratulations!
Let's talk to the guy who had himself a game last night. Why not? Colin Johnson, Bears wide receiver, who is on Twitter at call_in_Johnson, 6'6", 222 out of Texas. And he joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Colin, nice game, man.
I really appreciate it. You know, it's good to be on with you guys, and I can't wait to talk more about it.
Yeah, so, okay, let's start with the non-touchdown stuff. What did you think of the kickoff rule?
I was excited about it, but you never know until you get a game day rep at it. So Coach HT, our special teams coordinator, does a great job in practice, and I noticed the timing is different. It's so much faster than the old kickoff rule. But me going out there and you know, being able to get that first tackle really got some of those jitters out and gave my confidence a boost. But yeah, I really like the new rule. I think it's going to bring a lot of opportunity for returners to make plays and guys to also add value, you know, and maybe earn roster spots off the ability to make tackles and stuff like that. But I think it's super cool.
How hard was it to fight the urge, because you've been playing football your whole life and the kickoff part of it, the guys are on the move. So how much have you had to like kind of steel your mind to make sure that you're not moving until you're supposed to move?
Honestly, I didn't really have an issue with it because I was been so mentally locked in. We do so many walkthroughs, so many practices that it got to the point where it's almost second nature for me now, which is crazy. But, you know, each rep I get, whether it's a mental rep in the film room or on the practice field, I try to hardwire my mind to the new rule. So I didn't really have an issue with it. But I think at first, you know, you saw a couple people jump, you know, last game or last night. So I think it'll take a minute before everyone gets used to it. But, yeah, not really an issue for me, honestly.
How have you and Brett Rypien developed any kind of chemistry on the practice field? Because it sure looked comfortable with him able to find you easily.
Yeah, I kind of joked about it during the press conference because someone mentioned like we had one go route catch throughout the duration of our first 10 practices, and all of a sudden we get in the game and we look like we practiced that 100 times. But I could attribute the success to obviously that one catch and then us talking about it. But more importantly, I think the connection we've kind of built off the field, you know, Brett's a great guy. We eat the same breakfast every morning, which is interesting. We have oatmeal with two pieces of bacon, you know, for the protein. And we put some pecans on there, cranberry, stuff like that. So we've talked about stuff like that. And we just have just deep conversations about life, personal life, as well as football. So I think the chemistry that people saw last night was a little bit of both on the field and off the field.
What's that wide receiver room like?
I think it's awesome. This is probably the coolest receiver room I've ever got to be a part of, you know, with all due respect to the other rooms I've been in. But, you know, not every day you get to work with someone like Keenan Allen, who's done what he has done in the league at such a high level, so consistently for a long time, as well as DJ Moore. You know, shout out to him for the new contract. Every penny's deserved. I see the way he works every day. And just those guys particularly, but the whole receiver room, it's just such an honor to learn from them and just kind of get tips and tricks here and there that you could apply to your game. I think it's very cool.
When people talk about Keenan Allen, they often talk about his ability to figure out while in a route what a defense is doing and then adjust off of that. Have you seen that in practice, and why is he so good at it?
Absolutely. I see it every day in practice, in the film room. I see him in the film room kind of moving around as if he's releasing a little bit. Like, I could see his brain processing the film and his body physically moving a little bit in his chair, going through the rep mentally in the film room. And I know it's a huge part of the game is just the mental side of it, because you are limited a certain amount of reps in practice. You know, it's a physical game we play, and we can't get infinite reps, but you could basically get infinite reps of mental reps in the film room. So just him having the creativity kind of in the film room, I know that's a huge asset and a huge reason why it transfers to the field, because you could really tell he loves the game and he loves the craft of receiver.
What an insightful observation. Like, if we're going to end up making a reporter out of you if you at some point after football, because that's a really interesting and evocative image to see him sort of moving his body. It's like a bowler that releases the ball. You're kind of just trying to get it to go where you want it to go. That's really cool stuff. Now, when you practice, how have the reps been divided up? Is there enough to get you like into a practice other than just sort of the individual drills? Is everybody rotating in a little bit up a level every once in a while?
I feel I've got adequate reps for sure. You know, do you get as many as you would like? I don't think anyone does, because we always want more opportunities to show what we can do. But the reps I have been given, I feel very confident in me going out there and just, you know, showing the coaches and showing my teammates that they can count on me. And I know the offense and can make plays and confinement within the offense and stuff like that. So I felt like I was able to get plenty of reps from these 10 practices. And then obviously I'm a strong believer in you practice how you play. And, you know, I'm grateful that it, you know, transferred to the game.
Talking with one of last night's breakout Bears, wide receiver Colin Johnson, on the Bernstein and Holmes show. Could you compare and contrast this offense with the one you ran here last year?
I really like how Shane marries the run and the pass game. I feel like our play action game here is very, very efficient, I should say. We saw our run game last night, and also our pass game, just marrying the two and making the play action passes look as similar to an organic run as possible. I really like how Shane's been doing that. It's been coming together nice in practice, and hopefully will continue to come together in the games.
What's been your impression of playing with Caleb Williams?
The dude is a freak in nature, honestly. The way he could throw the ball, he's like a walking highlight tape. So I'm honestly, at this point, I'm not surprised when he makes crazy throws in practice, because I see it on day in and day out. But he's honestly such a good quarterback and a really good leader as well.
For a Texas guy to say that about an Oklahoma guy, I don't know, Colin. Wow, he must be great.
You know, I view him as a USC guy. You know, I kind of look over the Oklahoma part of
good
it.
Answer.
You know, we'll look over that.
Good answer. Very diplomatic of you. About 2 years ago, in August 24th of 2022, you tore your Achilles, and you're back full strength, full speed, doing what you're doing. What has the journey been like? And regardless of what happens from here, what does it mean to you to have gotten back to this point?
It honestly, you know, means the world to me. You know, I think I have a strong belief on life is not what happens to you. It's how you respond to what happens to you. And that's something that was very challenging for me mentally, physically, obviously, and spiritually, testing my faith. But at the end of the day, I just took it one day at a time, trying to be the best I can be. Some days better than others, but coming out the other side of it, I honestly could say I feel like I'm better now than before. I feel stronger, faster, and more mentally tough than ever. But shout out to the trainers at the Giants. They helped me basically rehab my Achilles, Mike and Ronnie and those guys. I couldn't do it without them. And then obviously I'm super appreciative for the Bears for for bringing me in last year and giving me an opportunity. But I'll never forget, I got one target and one catch last year, but it was my first catch after my Achilles surgery. So that meant the world to me. And every day I'm just focused on building more and more and just continuing to push myself to be the best player I can be.
So how do you make this team?
My mindset is pretty simple. You know, over the years, I realized in this league, you'll drive yourself crazy worrying about stuff you can't control. And for me, I just think about what's everything I can control. And that's just, you know, my attitude and effort and my ability to know the offense and play special teams and not only play but make plays, stuff like that. And at the end of the day, if I do everything in my power with those things I just mentioned, then I could live with the outcome. But I'm super confident in my ability. I know what I could bring to this team and help them win. I'm super hopeful that, you know, it works itself out.
What has your Hard Knocks experience been, if you've had a specific one so far?
Yeah, I think it's been interesting for sure, because there's cameras everywhere. It's like it's more rare to not have a camera in the room. You know, we have cameras in our meeting rooms, cameras at practice, cameras in walkthroughs, cameras in team meetings, you know. So it's super interesting, and I think it's just a super cool experience that I'm kind of just embracing. You know, I actually think Fox is going to come over and to my hotel room and follow me around a little bit later today. So I'll have more of an answer for you after that. But it's so far, so good.
Okay. Good for you to get that shine and now have that opportunity to help tell part of your story too. They showed the clip from the rookie night and Caleb giving his signing bonus to the room. What was your reaction when you heard the number?
I was like, man, I hope that rubs off on the rest of the team. You know, that's good luck right there. You know, good for him. I'm super happy for him. I know how hard it is to, you know, to make it to this level, and just it's just such a blessing. Each guy who gets the opportunity to play in the NFL is a blessing, let alone when you're the number one overall pick. You know, he did everything to earn that. So he earned every penny. And I'm looking forward to working with him day in and day out.
Colin, this was an absolute delight. Thank you for taking the time to do it. And congratulations, not just on a really good game, but on what sounds like as grown up a perspective from a young NFL player as we could possibly hear. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
That is Bears wide receiver Colin Johnson.
Exceptional. Delightful. That sounds like someone who's going to be in charge of something someday.
It also sounds like the Hard Knocks people might kind of be sniffing around at
that's
at a
why
story.
He only had a great game because the Hard Knocks cameras.
He was
were
waiting.
There.
Yes, he was waiting.
That's
obviously.
Why.
Had to be waiting.
Well, I love that we might, I'm guessing we get his story Tuesday.
Yes.
And that's great. And it's great because, like, okay, maybe you make the practice squad, who knows? But that performance last night.
2 years ago, Colin Johnson tore his Achilles on this play with the New York Giants.
100%.
Show him getting carted off or whatever. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, we could produce the show right now.
Wow.
Good for him.
Good for him.
That was fantastic.
Next up, we've got baseball, but Cubs and Sox a little bit by the numbers. I have the Chicago White Sox have tied an all-time record. They have tied an all-time major league record.
A baseball record?
They tied it yesterday without playing. They didn't need to play to tie this record.
Well, them not playing is good for White Sox fans.
But they tied an ignominious record by not playing.
Okay, I'm interested to hear what this record is. And we need to talk about last night's Cubs game, too, which I think was the apotheosis of how Jed Hoyer wants to win games. I'll explain next on The Score.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Los Cardinals 5, los Cardenales 4.
Esparza on the call. That's how it sounds if you're a Spanish speaker. I had my Spanish tested a little bit yesterday. There's always a lot of Spanish-speaking tourists who I see on my route while I'm fishing, and had several lovely conversations. And when you are forced to find words or find ways of saying things, it's good brain exercise every once in a while.
Absolutely.
Really is. And you're like, oh, yeah, I did remember how to use the passive voice on that, or the subjunctive or something. Like my Mrs. Weisberger, Mrs. Tillman, Senor Carvajal, and Mrs. Wilton would be proud, even though I never liked Mrs. Wilton. She was
Hey.
What?
Unnecessary.
Mrs. Wilton was an ass hat.
Unnecessary.
You know what pissed me off about her?
I don't need to know.
No, seriously. I have to share this. This pissed me off about her. This is sophomore year, and the first day of class, this
didn't hold on to this one for a while.
She stands up in front of this.
40 years he's been hanging
on. She stands up in front of this. Mrs. Tillman was great. Mrs. Weisberger was lovely. Mr. Carvajal was Senor Carvajal was sensational.
That's what they always said about Senor Carvajal.
The best.
They did.
The best. But Mrs. Wilton, she had it in for me, too, from the first day, the very first day of class. Because she said, I'll tell you one thing I won't have in my class, and that is Spanglish. I won't have anybody say, and she gave an example of it. And she said, I once asked a student what the infinitive form of the verb is to fly. And she said, that student said moscar. A mosca is a fly, is a house fly. And she used that as an example of what not to use. And that person said, use the word moscar, as if a fly is to fly.
Yeah, that's not Spanglish.
No, it's not Spanglish. That's not the point. I raised my hand. And she said, yes.
I want you to stop for a second. This is me playing the role of your therapist. Just for a second.
Yeah.
You do realize that you do that to us all the time.
Can I finish the story?
Okay. I just want you to understand that this thing that you're railing against.
No, this.
But you literally did it in the break. In the last break, you did it.
But this is what
the promo played, and Danny said, "Me and."
Oh, I hate me and. But I'm not a teacher, and that wasn't my objection. I got all kinds of grammatical pet peeves and all that. What pissed me off is when I raised my hand, she said, what? And I said, Mrs. Wilton, I understand that that's incorrect, but why would you stifle a student's creativity? And I said, why wouldn't you reward the student for using the infinitive form and at least coming up with something creative that showed an ability to try to think on the fly and just say, okay, it's wrong.
I see what you did there.
It's wrong, but it's cute. It's funny.
Moscar.
And she had it in for me ever since that very first day of class. Because what kind of teacher does that? What kind of teacher would instead of rewarding creativity, instead of saying, hey, good thought, nice try, That's a creative way of trying to come up with something you didn't know. And it's like, we don't do that. Blah, 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 blah. Just what a jerk.
Dan's Marvel movie. I just wrote it out. The Infinitive Wars.
Just to this day, that's bothered me. How about a little yes and? Not me and. No me and. Yes, comma, and. .. Not me and. There. Here endeth the lesson. Screw Mrs. Wilton.
You think Mike Talkman's Spanish is any good?
Shout out to women's healthcare.
He's a baseball player. I'm sure his Spanish is fine.
Look at me and Ray trying to keep the show on track.
Good luck. Good luck, boys.
All right, so here's what the White Sox did.
I've been trying for 2.5 years.
Here's what the White Sox did. The White Sox didn't play, and congratulations to your Chicago White Sox. They've tied the record for the longest calendar day stretch without winning a game. It's now at 25 days.
So wait. It's... Go Stay Sox.
It's 25 days. The only team that has ever gone longer is the 1889 Louisville Colonels.
What?
31 days in between wins for the 1889 Louisville Colonels.
Okay.
41. Hold on. 41 days.
31.
31.
Sox
okay.
are 20. Sox need another 6 days.
I'm telling you that bet that Joe brought up, them not winning a game to the 15th of August at 100-1, it's not crazy. I'm not saying that I'm putting any money on it, but as the inventor of the Holmes maneuver, wouldn't that be the ultimate Holmes maneuver? I'm serious,
yeah,
right?
That's sort of the culmination of it, right?
All of this stuff that we've seen and them being bad, and it felt like there was, you're Mr. Words, would inertia be right? Inertia that Pedro was going to get fired.
Yeah.
After the game on Wednesday, it just kind of felt like you've had a 14-game losing streak.
It's time to leave now.
Yeah, it might be time for you to go. Yes. And considering that there was a day off and then he still got it now. But if you were going to do it, day off, get on a plane, seems like the time to do it.
Studs, what was the Cubs stat you gave me? I think you sent it to me, and I don't know where to find it.
It's in the group chat.
Oh, sorry.
I got it right here, though.
Okay.
Since this is from Optastats on Twitter, at Optastats, since pitches were first tracked in 1988, the Cubs are the only MLB team to have three separate two-strike RBI extra base hits in the bottom of the ninth in a victory.
Cool.
They all came off Ryan Helsley, who
they own him.
Who hadn't allowed a two strike extra base hit all season before yesterday.
But the Cubs have owned him, which is really interesting. I also thought that last night, if you're Jed, you're sitting in there watching the game going, this is what I envisioned. Here's Shota Imanaga doing his thing, but you could tell when he got tired because pitches stayed up and didn't break.
And one went out.
And got hit hard when he did that. Look at the people who were the main culprits to the comeback and them winning the game. It was Nico, it was Dansby, and it was Cody Bellinger. Bellinger with slug in yesterday's game. Dansby's been hitting the ball hard for about 10 days or so, but it might be too late. And it's probably too late. And that's the problem. That even if you were hoping that these things would click on, if they have clicked on, especially to me, Dansby's one thing, but Bellinger's slug, that's what you've desperately needed this year. You've needed a little bit of that.
If you can bottle that, go ahead and keep doing it.
But it was the guys that you've been asking to do. It's Nico who's been doing really well over the last month or so. So Nico, Dansby, Seiya, Bellinger, Shota. Those five guys, that's the way, if you're the Cubs, you want to win.
Anthony Heron is going to join us in studio to talk about the Bears' performance last night and more. So don't go anywhere. Bernstein and Holmes on the Score.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Miguel Esparza on the call. That's how it sounds if you're a Spanish speaker. I had my Spanish tested a little bit yesterday. There's always a lot of Spanish-speaking tourists who I see on my route while I'm fishing, and had several lovely conversations. And when you are forced to find words or find ways of saying things, it's good brain exercise every once in a while.
Absolutely.
Really is. And you're like, oh, yeah. I did remember how to use the passive voice on that, or the subjunctive or something. Like my Mrs. Weisberger, Mrs. Tillman, Senor Carvajal, and Mrs. Wilton would be proud, even though I never liked Mrs. Wilton. She was
Hey.
What?
Unnecessary.
Mrs. Wilton was an ass. Unnecessary. You know what pissed me off about her?
I don't need to know.
No, seriously. I have to share this. This pissed me off about her. This is sophomore year. And the first day of class, This
didn't hold on to this one for a while.
She stands up in front of this.
40 years he's been.
She stands up in front of Mrs. Tillman was great. Mrs. Weisberger was lovely. Mr. Carvajal was Senor Carvajal was sensational.
That's what they always said about Senor Carvajal.
The best.
They did.
The best. But Mrs. Wilton, she had it in for me too from the first day, the very first day of class. Because she said, I'll tell you one thing I won't have in my class, and that is Spanglish. I won't have anybody say, and she gave an example of it. And she said, I once asked a student what the infinitive form of the verb is to fly. And she said, that student said moscar. A mosca is a fly, is a house fly. And she used that as an example of what not to. And that person said, use the word moscar as if a fly is to fly.
That's not Spanglish.
No, it's not Spanglish. That's not the point. I raised my hand. And she said, yes.
I want you to stop for a second. This is me playing the role of your therapist. Just for a second.
Yeah.
You do realize that you do that to us. All the time.
Can I finish the story?
Okay. I just want you to understand that this thing that you're railing against.
No, this. But,
you literally did it in the break.
But this,
in the last break, you did it.
But this is what
the promo played, and Danny said, "Me and."
Oh, I hate that. I hate me and. But I'm not a teacher, and that wasn't my objection. I've got all kinds of grammatical pet peeves and all that. What pissed me off is when I raised my hand, and she said, what? And I said, Mrs. Wilton, I understand that that's incorrect, but why would you stifle a student's creativity? And I said, why wouldn't you reward the student for using the infinitive form and at least coming up with something creative that showed an ability to try to think on the fly and just say, okay, it's wrong.
I see what you did there.
It's wrong, but it's cute. It's funny.
Moscar.
And she had it in for me ever since that very first day of class. Because what kind of teacher does that? What kind of teacher would instead of rewarding creativity, instead of saying, hey, good thought, nice try, That's a creative way of trying to come up with something you didn't know. And it's like, we don't do that. Blah, 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 blah. Just what a jerk.
Dan's Marvel movie. I just wrote it out. The Infinitive Wars.
Just to this day, that's bothered me. How about a little yes and? Not me and. No me and. Yes, comma, and. Dot, dot, dot. Not me and. There. Here endeth the lesson. Screw Mrs. Wilton.
You think Mike Talkman's Spanish is any good?
Shout out to women's healthcare.
He's a baseball player. I'm sure his Spanish is fine.
Look at me and Ray trying to keep the show on track.
Good luck. Good luck, boys.
All right, so here's what the White Sox did.
I've been trying for 2.5 years.
Here's what the White Sox did. The White Sox didn't play, and congratulations to your Chicago White Sox. They've tied the record for the longest calendar day stretch without winning a game. It's now at 25 days.
So wait. It's... Go Sox. Sucks.
It's 25 days. The only team that has ever gone longer is the 1889 Louisville Colonels.
What?
31 days in between wins for the 1889 Louisville Colonels.
Okay.
41. Hold on. 41 days?
31.
31.
Sox
okay.
are 20. Sox need another 6 days.
I'm telling you, that bet that Joe brought up, them not winning a game to the 15th of August at 100-1, it's not crazy. I'm not saying that I'm putting any money on it, but as the inventor of the Holmes maneuver, wouldn't that be the ultimate Holmes maneuver? I'm serious, right?
That's sort of the culmination of it, right?
All of this stuff that we've seen and them being bad, and it felt like there was, you're Mr. Words, would inertia be right? Inertia that Pedro was going to get fired after the game on Wednesday. It just kind of felt like you've had a 14-game losing streak.
It's time to leave now.
Yeah, it might be time for you to go. Yes. And considering that there was a day off and then... he still got it now. But if you were going to do it, day off, get on a plane, seems like the time to do it.
Studs, what was the Cubs stat you gave me? I think you sent it to me, and I don't know where to find it.
Well, it's in the group chat.
Oh, sorry.
I got it right here, though.
Okay.
Since this is from Optastats on Twitter, at Optastats, since pitches were first tracked in 1988, the Cubs are the only MLB team to have three separate two-strike RBI extra base hits in the bottom of the ninth in a victory.
Cool.
They all came off Ryan Helsley, who
they own him.
Who hadn't allowed a two strike extra base hit all season before yesterday.
But the Cubs have owned him, which is really interesting. I also thought that last night, if you're Jed, you're sitting in there watching the game going, this is what I envisioned. Here's Shota Imanaga doing his thing, but you could tell when he got tired because pitches stayed up and didn't break.
And one went out.
And got hit hard when he did that. Look at the people who were the main culprits to the comeback and them winning the game. It was Nico, it was Dansby, and it was Cody Bellinger. Bellinger with slug in yesterday's game. Dansby's been hitting the ball hard for about 10 days or so, but it might be too late. And it's probably too late. And that's the problem. That even if you were hoping that these things would click on, if they have clicked on, especially to me, Dansby's one thing, but Bellinger's slug, that's what you've desperately needed this year. You've needed a little bit of that.
If you can bottle that, go ahead and keep doing it.
But it was the guys that you've been asking to do. It's Nico who's been doing really well over the last month or so. So Nico, Dansby, Seiya, Bellinger, Shota. Those five guys, that's the way, if you're the Cubs, you want to win.
Anthony Heron is going to join us in studio to talk about the Bears' performance last night and more. So don't go anywhere. Bernstein and Holmes on the Score.